women were going to graduate school because they weren't getting good jobs. The preference, the discrimination against women for jobs was very high.
不能定半边天,
yes. And moving back to 男女不平等 and 男主外女主持, etc.
旷野无边,人生无限。 欢迎收听旷野电波，我是主持人柯婷。前不久呢，瑞典皇家科学院宣布将2023年的诺贝尔经济学奖颁给了克劳迪亚·格尔丁，从而表彰他在女性劳动力研究领域的突出贡献。与此同时呢，在今年的秋天，我们宁波诺丁汉大学人文社科学院也迎来了一位新教授 Sarah Cook 教授。 Sarah 教授是在牛津读的本科，之后去哈佛攻读了博士，现在呢是我们宁诺经济系的系主任。他和今年的诺奖得主 Claudia 一样，都是女性主义经济学家。那么接下来我们就一起来听一听 Sarah 教授对于本次诺奖结果以及女性主义经济学家有什么看法吧。
I'm Dr. Chaoyan Wang, assistant professor from School of Economics, and today we are very delighted to have Professor Sarah Cook here. She is the head of our School of Economics, and also she is an expert in gender-related issues. So today she is going to share with us some of her experiences and her view about this year's Nobel Prize winner. Sarah, I know you first arrived in China in 1984. You have been involved in numerous research projects related to gender issues in China. So could you please share a bit more about your experiences in this regard?
Thank you for this opportunity to talk about my experience here in China over a long period of time, but also I'll draw on my other experience working in the UN system and in academia in other countries. But first, I think going back to 1984, when I arrived in China, I was 22 years old. I hadn't studied economics at that time. My first year was history. But, you know, from the mid 80s, China's economy was changing very rapidly, but its society was also changing. And I think one of the things that, you know, was really noticeable for me as a young woman working in quite a small town in China was the changing attitudes and portrayal of women, for example, in calendars, in the media, etc. And I could see young women were under quite a lot of pressure to find their way, to feel that they weren't being discriminated, to find job opportunities, etc. So I think, you know, from that point on, I could see this change in Chinese society, if you like, from the socialist, Maoist, feminist,
不能定半
And moving back to 男女不平等 and 男主外女主持, etc. So we had that change. And so I was very interested in those changes in China from the 80s. And then when I started doing research, when I went and did my master's and PhD, looking at issues of development, of inequality, looking at rural education in China, the gender differences, looking at rural health, maternal mortality rates are very high at that time in China, and access to healthcare for women was much worse. So there were lots of different levels of inequality that I could see, and forms of discrimination. You know, as I saw these issues arising, I got more interested in doing more research. And one of the key issues that I've worked on in China, but also globally through my work in the UN, is on the care economy, what we call 照料经济. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, the Chinese National Bureau of Statistics, 统计局, did a time use survey. Mm-hmm. So we could finally see really some of the key elements of gender inequality in the economy. Women do more work than men. Mm-hmm. That includes their care work, the work they do in the household, which of course is not valued in the economy. And if you value their work, and this we find across countries, if you value this work at a very low wage, minimum wage, domestic worker wage, what you pay your IE, it comes to about 30%, 25 to 30% of GDP. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge part of the economy, which is invisible in mainstream economic analysis. So I think these are some of the issues that, you know, as economists, as feminist economists, we really try to focus on and bring to the fore in our analysis.
So it's amazing to know that you had that insight from very early age. And I know that in 2012, the World Bank released the first report titled Gender Equality and Development And since then, the World Bank published gender-related issues, reports and data annually. And also, I know that you lead a project which aims to support female economists in China. So could you please elaborate on why this issue is such important and how can we raise people's awareness of this issue?
Thank you. And just first on the World Bank report, I mean, obviously, that was an important report, and the World Bank has increasingly taken gender issues more seriously. As feminist economists, many of us were very critical of that report because it doesn't go far enough. It's within a very narrow framework of looking at women large in the economy, their labor market access. So it often neglects these things I was just talking about, the structural impediments that prevent women really having access to a lot of economic opportunity. But putting that aside for a minute, we can talk more about that. But, you know, coming back to my work in China, I worked at the Ford Foundation, in Beijing office for many years, from 2000. And during that period, 2000, that was a very interesting moment in China's history, as always, with WTO accession, with the state-owned enterprise restructuring. One of the things that happened at that time was that more women were entering university than men in many disciplines for the first time. And so the government and many people were saying, look, we've got equality, and particularly in going onto graduate school, graduate education. And what we realized and what we did research on and found was that actually women were going to graduate school because they weren't getting good jobs. The preference, the discrimination against women for jobs was very high. And so very able women went to graduate school. But then we realized that as they were in studying economics, for example, and so we started a program. So we had resources to support a big program and we located it. So I worked with some of the leading women economists and we set up a program based in Peking University, Beida, because we wanted it to be at a leading university. So people couldn't say this is marginal to mainstream economics. We gave them an intensive summer training program and then a mentor to work through the year on a project. So it had two goals. The first was to give them the skills to really succeed in their career and produce work and publish and teach, etc. But the second was to introduce gender analysis, gender issues into the analysis of economics. And so they had to do a project and write papers with a mentor who could be in China or internationally. And many of them published work. And by I can't remember what year, maybe around after about 5 or 6 years, we managed to establish the China Women's Economic Network as part of China's Economic Association, National Economic Association. In, I think, 2011, this network organized the international conference, there's an International Association of Feminist Economics, and they organized a conference in Shanghai, in Hangzhou, which was a real, really big success. So I think that program I'm very proud of. We supported for about 15 years. And I think those women that we trained, mainly women, are really in many leading economic departments and positions now. But I think the work isn't done. We didn't manage to get a lot of success in terms of getting these things into the policy agenda. And I feel that things may be going backwards. I don't see a lot of gender and economics, feminist economics being taught, mainstreamed into academia in China or indeed in the US or the UK. So we've still got a long way to go, but I'm very pleased with that project and the progress we made.
Exciting news that this year's Nobel Memorial Prize has been awarded to Professor Claudia Goldin for her contribution to our understanding of the gender wage gap and patterns of women's participation in the labor market. So what are your thoughts about this achievement?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, almost everybody that I would know would celebrate this achievement. I mean, it's exciting for a number of reasons. As you may know, there are very few women who have won a Nobel Prize in economics. It's lower than most other disciplines, even chemistry and sciences. In the past, the ones that have won have always been jointly with men. So this is the first time a woman has won it alone. But more importantly, most importantly, it's because she works on gender issues and women's issues in the economy. Obviously, we hope that this will be an opportunity to bring those questions, those issues into the mainstream. You know, she's been very successful in being at a leading university as a woman working on gender issues. Many leading feminist economists haven't been able to do that. Often they've ended up in sociology departments or other departments in order to be able to work on gender issues. So, you know, this is important, and we hope that the visibility will lead to change within the mainstream economics profession. Mm-hmm. But of course, in order to do that, you often have to be within the mainstream neoclassical economic tradition.
Sure.
And many of us also want to see economics expand so we can take on board some of these more structural issues that I've been talking about, the fact that women have different opportunities going into labor markets. So we can't just look at incomes and wage gaps as the main reason to explain differences. We need to understand what opportunities they've had for education, health issues, but also this issue of the care economy, the structural economic issues that sort of prevent them. So I think we've got a long way to go, but this is really an exciting step forward.
Yeah. Okay, so Sarah, because I know you can speak very good Mandarin, 所以如果请您用一个词来形容您自己，您会用什么词？
啊，我说几句，然后你可以帮助我找一个词。
总结。
So, 我觉得我自己的特点可能是有两份我要说。一个是我是税序型的，是 academic。我特别喜欢研究，很仔细的了解问题，但是把这个研究就是怎么影响政策，这是一个特点。所以，然后第二个可能是做领导的时候，比如说我做联合国这个机构研究机构的主任，我的领导性不是从前面，是后面型的。这个领导要说服一些人，要把办法让他们都了解这些问题。所以这两方面的，我不是在前面一个 trailblazer， 我觉得我是在后面这样的一个人来说服人或者是解决问题。
Sarah, thank you very much for sharing with us so much of your extraordinary experiences. It's really insightful. So do you have anything to add before we finish today?
Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Let me just finish by saying I think what we're emphasizing is these issues of gender in economics need to be taken a lot more seriously from different perspectives. We know that gender equality is good for growth. That's what the World Bank tells us. But there are also, that's instrumental reason. There are also intrinsic reasons. We need equality between everybody. So we have intrinsic reasons for giving everybody equal opportunities. And I think from a macro perspective, in China in particular at this moment, if we look at China's economy today, we've had very rapid structural change, but we've also got very rapid fertility decline. We've got an aging society. And unless we address these gender issues in the economy, China is not going to be able to solve these very serious problems for its own economic growth and development. So I hope both the Nobel Prize winning economist focus on this issue and these issues facing China will help spur on development of the field of gender and economics in China. Thank you.
那么这期节目就到这里结束了。在本期节目中， Sarah 教授带领着我们从一个全新的视角去看待中国以及世界的经济和社会的发展。最后呢，他也和我们分享了他对于本次诺奖的看法以及本次诺奖的特殊意义。在听完这期播客之后，如果你对于诺贝尔经济学奖或者是说女性主义经济学还有什么其他想要分享的，都可以在评论区内告诉我们。那我们就下期节目再见，拜拜。感谢收听旷野电波。在听完这期节目之后，如果你喜欢我们的节目，欢迎关注我们。我们的播客在小宇宙、喜马拉雅、微信公众号三个平台同步更新。与此同时呢，如果你对于本节目的选题或者节目内容有什么建议的，欢迎大家在评论区内告诉我们。希望旷野电波能够和大家一起创造出更多高质量的节目内容。